All right, good morning, everyone. So great to be here again with all of you this morning. I know I say this frequently, but this is my favorite space with which to deliver sermons. Very special place for me, and it's always an honor to be here. The story that I picked today is a story that I think is known to everyone, regardless of your spiritual journey to this point in time in life. The story of Jonah and the whale. And as we heard from the children, I felt like their responses were excellent. Jokingly in my mind, because I do have, you know, kind of a silly sense of humor, I thought, well, there's my sermon right there. I don't actually have to, get up and do this. But no, but it is such a story that fascinates us because it's a story that's very old, as most of the stories in the Hebrew scriptures. But it's a story that came when the Israelites were back from their exile, the post-exile period. And many biblical scholars find that stories originating from this period when the Israelites were exposed to the culture of Babylon in their exile, Babylonian and Assyrian empires, that they brought with them back to their country certain narratives that are unique to the Hebrew canon because they don't necessarily originate with the Israelite version that we have in the Bible. So Jonah is a character that they probably took the story from other cultures and made it into their own. But it's a story that is found in the scriptures of all three Abrahamic traditions. It's mentioned, as we heard, in the book of Jonah in the Hebrew scriptures. Christ in the Gospel of Matthew references Jonah in comparison to himself. And the story of Jonah is also in the Quran as well. So all three Abrahamic traditions have this story. So it's no wonder that so many people around the world are familiar with it. Even small children know about Jonah and the whale. And what I have found in my own reading of scripture is that I always jumped to Jonah being swallowed by the whale, as if that's the highlight of the whole story. And granted, it is the most fantastical part of the story. It's very unexpected. It would probably make for a great movie, to be honest. They've decided, after throwing lots and petitioning to their gods, this storm will not stop. And finally, they wake up Jonah, who had decided to go down to below deck and go to sleep at a time like this. Something reminiscent of when Christ is in the boat during the storm and the disciples are worried, like, what? You know, there's a storm going on and the master is fast asleep. And they go down, they wake him up from his sleep, and they say, you need to petition to your God. And when they discover that it is Jonah who's at fault, who has angered the Lord, that is when they decide to throw him over. And he is saved. He is swallowed by this whale, not eaten, as Reverend Lee said. But I'm really curious about what happens before he's swallowed by the whale. What is this decision that Jonah makes, this really surprising decision, being a messenger of God? So many great thinkers have fixated on the whale. In fact, the psychologist Carl Jung actually had a phrase called the Jonah in the whale complex to describe a feeling of being stuck, depression, being overwhelmed, being swallowed up by something that is larger than us. And then eventually, if we're lucky, we're spat up onto a shore. But another psychologist named Eric Fromm actually fixated on what he called the road to Nineveh complex, meaning what happens when you have a mission or you've been tasked with something or a promise that was made, and what happens when you try to back out of it and all things start to fall apart because of that decision. Jonah stands out for me because if you look at the majority of the prophets in the Old Testament or the Hebrew scriptures, when God reveals the mission to most of these prophets, I wouldn't say that their response is something mild, like, yeah, okay, fair enough, sure, and there's no questions asked. But Jonah stands out because even though he is destined to do this mission for God, to preach to the city of Nineveh, which was the capital city at the time, so it would be like someone, coming to Sacramento or coming here to San Francisco, and knowing that you have to tell an entire city, you need to change. I'm not even from here, but I'm going to come here as a guest or as a traveler and criticize what you are doing, the entire city. I suppose if I were in the situation, I might think twice about going to the city. And perhaps it's not unusual, perhaps it's very human of us to feel anxious when being tasked with something that great. And so instead of going to Nineveh, he hightails it to Joppa. Now, Joppa is a very interesting city. I don't know if Swedenborg had a correspondence for Joppa, but in various spiritual traditions, Joppa is interpreted as being this city that is a port city that can take you anywhere you need to go. So in certain initiatic esoteric circles, Joppa is a symbolism for deciding whether you're going to fulfill your mission or whether you need to take some time away from it. So Jonah, in his anxiety and his fear, decides to go elsewhere. And as we've seen, it doesn't work out very well for him. And reflecting on this story, the road to Nineveh, I find myself thinking about times in my life where I have had a goal in mind or I feel like I've had a responsibility and I have felt very uncomfortable at times. In fact, a lot of anxiety, and I do personally deal with anxiety. It's the paradox of also being a psychotherapist as well as a minister in training. You help other people who are anxious, but you have your own anxieties. One of my anxieties is actually driving, vehicular anxiety, which is why I'm glad I had a friend today to bring me to church this morning and to drive the streets of San Francisco. But I can really resonate with Jonah in this anxiety of fulfilling one's task. But what I have found is that my faith, even in the most anxious of moments, I have found that I can propel myself forward towards the task that I feel I am being drawn to engage or drawn to complete. And I was reflecting with Reverend Lee earlier that in the path of ministry, there are moments where your boundaries are pushed. You're asked to go into certain situations, whether it's a hospital or late at night, the streets of San Francisco, and asked to minister and talk with people. And there might be this fear of how do I approach, as a stranger, how do I approach these folks? And will I let my anxiety get to the point where I won't even try, or do I allow myself to push forward? And Jonah, the ending of the story is also really fascinating because once he spit up on the shore, and when he was in the belly of the whale, he was doing a lot of praying as well. And when he is spat up onto the shore, he finally does reach Nineveh. And the conclusion of the narrative is it is so hot that day at Nineveh. Very much how Cole was saying, you know, it's hot during the summer. And God creates a beautiful vine. A vine grows and then a tree covers him. And Jonah has this conversation with God. He's actually surprised that God is going to spare Nineveh. But God reminds Jonah, well, look, I spared you. You let your fear get the best of you. You experienced this whole thing with the whale. So, of course, if I see a city, if I see a people who are willing to consider change, I will see to it that they have a chance to change their ways and try to improve themselves. In Swedenborgian theology, we're told of this concept of regeneration. And I'm sure many of you have heard a number of sermons where regeneration is mentioned. It is not an easy process. And I have found that, and I've mentioned this in previous sermons, that the very painful process of reformation, that second stage in the regeneration process, where you really are looking at the things that frighten you, your fears, your anxieties, it's the hardest thing to do. And I feel that the story of Jonah, if looked at from a Swedenborgian perspective, represents this critical moment when we see the changes that need to happen, we see the tasks at hand, and yet there are moments where we have to really grapple with ourselves. So I would invite you, as I wind down this sermon this morning, to maybe visualize a time in your lives where you had a mission or a goal or a want, and you felt like it was impossible for you to accomplish it. And I invite you to think about Jonah as a symbol of hope, as a symbol of getting through from that anxiety of the road to Nineveh, going through trials and tribulations, and eventually being spat up on that shore, having some relief in the coolness of that vine and that tree outside the city. I would invite you to take that with you as you carry on into this week. Amen.